Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tes Vav in Zvachim. We are, God willing, thank you, hopefully going to catch up today. We are supposed to be finishing the first parak of Zvachim, and wouldn't that be nice if we did? So let's make our way towards that. We're on Yud Amud Aleph. You're right, it's good. Thank you so much. We're on Yud Amud Aleph, and we are about to start more discussion about the issue of halacha. The rest of the perek, or all of today, is dedicated to the issue of halacha. There are four avodas when doing the when with every karban, four essential avodas that need to be done in order for an efficacy of the karban. First avoda is shechita, shechting the karban. Second avoda is kabbalas adam, receiving of the blood. The third avoda is halacha, and the fourth avoda is the sprinkling of the blood, the zrikas hadam. We've entertained a machlokis by holacha. The Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph tells us that by holacha there is a major machlokis amongst the Tanayim whether or not holacha is an essential avoda. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that holacha is not an essential avoda, and his svar is very simple, because you don't need to do the holacha. It's very possible that you'll be shechting the animal right next to the mizbeach, and consequently, you simply don't need holacha. And even in a scenario where you do need holacha, where you shecht it away, but since it's not necessary, it could be done without, so therefore it's not essential. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you have a machshava, if you have intent while doing the avoda of holacha, it's not significant, it will not disqualify. So according to Rabbi Shimon, there are only three avodas, not four avodas. Okay? We don't pass like Rabbi Shimon, obviously. We pass like the Chachamim. Halacha is regarded as an avoda. It's true, according to the Chachamim, possible to do the avoda without the halacha. We'll see more. We'll talk more about that this morning. Well, how critical it is to have halacha at all, according to the Chachamim. Yesterday we talked about a concession, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that halacha is not an avoda, certain times the halacha is going to be an avoda. Okay, so for the first part of today's daf, for the next 15 minutes, I'm just going to, look, you have a picture in your book, you don't need to look over here, but I have a picture of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, and we're just going to go over some geographic locations in the Beis HaMikdash in order to understand the next bits of Gemara. Chatas HaPnimius, there are certain chatos which need to be brought into the heichal, into the building. Remember, this is a courtyard over here. This box over here, okay, just for a second. This box over here is Esos Nashim. First and foremost, whenever looking at this picture, remember, you're always looking at it upside down. For reasons which I don't fully understand, when they drew the picture, south is going up, north is going down, this is to the west, and that's to the east. So really, truth of the matter is that I should flip this page over. This is, you know, how we normally look at a map. And this is the normal geographic position, but then all the words are upside.
Still north,
huh?
That's north still.
Now this is north.
Still north.
And this is now south. I'm just saying this is how we normally look at a map.
Right.
So, but by doing so, of course, all the words are upside down, and so okay, so you know you're going to get confused either way. Okay. Again, I don't know why they did that, but they did it that way. So anyway, so in the meantime, however, so but this box over here is the Azara, the temple courtyard. This area over here is not it is a courtyard, but it's not the courtyard. It's called Ezra Snashim. It does not have the Kedusha of the Azara. It only has the Kedusha of Har HaBayis only. I'm saying it, but it has the Kedusha of Har HaBayis. This box area is a courtyard. That's the Azara. Okay? When you shecht a carbon chatas, you're shechting it over here on the north side of the Mizbeach, and the Kohanim eat it in the Azara. Limit Zichre Kohuna, the male Kohanim can eat it in the Azara, so there's got to be somewhere around here where you'll be able to sit down and eat your chatas meat. Anyway, let's get more to the point. The chatas apnimios, some chatos need to be shechted. Everything shechted outside the building. Nothing shechted in the building. This is the building. This is the Heichal. Nothing shechted in the building. Some chatos panimios, where you do is you receive the blood and you have to walk the blood into the heichal through the antechamber, the ulam, into the heichal, sprinkle the blood on the parochis, on the curtain over here. Okay? That's chatos panimios. So what the Gemara said yesterday is that according to Rabbi Shimon, here's a concession. Even though Rabbi Shimon holds normally that halacha is insignificant and therefore not an avoda, but by chatos panimios, look, you can't shecht the animal inside. You can't. The only area of shechting is outside, to the north of the Mizbeach. So there's no way to get the blood from here to here without holacha. So there is a concession. Sometimes Rabbi Shimon will agree that halacha is an avoda. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday. That's point number one. The Gemara, we're going to continue in the Gemara. I'm still going to remain here standing just to get through these next lines of Gemara, because a couple more points that you really need to see, you need a visual in order to appreciate. We're on Yudal Amad Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the page, and Amar Rava. Okay, it's five lines down, four lines down before the lines become wide. That's where we got to yesterday. Amar Rava. Intim Salam, Rabbi Shimon Savala Kabrei, the Amar Beina Ulam Lizbech, Safon, Eim Achshav Amar Elzbo, Halachas Chataos Pnimas, Elami Pesach Ulam Vilifnim. Okay. Again, I'm going to turn it over. Okay? I'm going to make an executive decision. Okay, so that way you just won't get confused with the north and south and the... Okay, fine. It's really the better way to do it. Okay, so here, this is the north side of the Mizbech. Here's the Mizbech, here's the altar, and here's the north side of the Mizbech. Every carbon has to be shechted north. The Chatas has to be shechted north. There's a halacha of Safon. It has to be shechted to the north, and that's where it shechted. There is a major machlokas, which we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. When we say to the north of the Mizbeach, do we mean just to the north of the Mizbeach, bordered by the eastern and western border of the Mizbeach, meaning that you can only shecht in this area over here, but you can't deviate neither to the west nor to the east? It's pretty impressive. I'm looking the other way. Right? Okay, fine. Now, right now, I can read it. That's very good. So, is that what north means, or does north mean just simply draw a line over here, and anything north of the mizbeach, and you can go either to the east or either to the west? Anything north of the mizbeach is in fact going to be considered Safon. Okay, so that's a major machlokas. Rabbi Shimon's son is of the opinion that Safon is anywhere northbound of the mizbeach. Good. That means then that according to the son of Rabbi Shimon, I can take Mechatzis Panimis, I don't have to shecht it here, I could shecht it right up against the Heichal, just north of the Mizbeach. Good. So that means that this traveling from here to here is unnecessary. And remember, for Rabbi Shimon, on any unnecessary travels, by definition, not Holacha. So according to, if Rabbi Shimon holds like his son, in terms of determining what the geographic location is for shechting your chatas, so consequently that would mean that your legal holacha doesn't start until you actually walk into the ulam. Make sense? Should. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. That's
the shechting on the stairs. There's a set of stairs there.
Yeah. So maybe you'll shecht right next to the stairs. You're correct. Or on the stairs. Okay. Let's. Okay. I don't have a reason to say right now stairs are no good. Okay.
But it's not optional.
Sure it is, meaning you don't...
If you don't shecht it along the wall,
right.
You're going to have to walk it.
Agreed.
The whole thing...
Agreed, but it's not...
Bochim is set up on the other side.
Understood. But still...
It's not ma'ake.
Right, you could avoid it. It's anything avoidable.
It's avoidable.
Okay, that's point number one of the Gemara. That's something that I read inside. Let me just read inside.
You're saying that Allah has to be done by Kohen. So, for example, he would hold it... Take it from there to the wall would not have to be done for.
Yeah, the Gemara is going to explore that a little bit later on. Okay, good. So Rabbi Shimon Savalei Kibrei, the Amar Beina Ulam Lizbech, Safon Ein Machshava Ma'alas Ba'alachas, Chatas Mipnimis, Ela Mipesach Ulam V'lifnim. Only from the entrance of the Ulam inward. Good. That's point number one. Okay, the Imtim Salomar. Another, right, the Gemara is just going to mix and match different shitas just to make sure that we get the idea, right? The concept, it's the same concept. It's going to be the same concept throughout. Any unnecessary walking in the base, the mikdash, any walking that just can be avoided, that's avoidable, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not halacha. Gemara is going to give us another example. In Tim Salomar, we're now in the first wide line of the page, Sabalak Rabbi Yehuda Damatocha Zara Mikdash Ein Machshava Mo'elas Ba'olacha Siluk Bazichin Ela mi Pesach Heichal v'lachotz. Anything in the Azara is sanctified. So Machshava will not help for the Siluk Bazichin except from the Pesach Heichal, from the entrance of the Heichal. Okay. Again, a little bit of background information over here. There's a table right over here, the Shulchan. Right in the there are only three pieces of furniture. I mean four, but from, you know, when you're in the Heichal, three pieces of furniture, that's it. And your pieces of furniture are a little candelabra. Okay, it's called the menorah. There's a table. And then there's a gold mizbeach. Right? Mizbeach Hazav. Okay, that's it. That's your three pieces of furniture. Obviously, lefnai v'lefnim, the kodesh hakodashim, you have the aron. Okay, during the second temple, aron wasn't there. Okay, but that's it. Now, on the shulchan, you had bread, 12 loaves of bread, and they were baked on Erev Shabbos, placed on the shulchan on Shabbos, and the last week's bread is taken out. Last week's bread is distributed amongst the Kohanim. Kohanim get to eat the bread, right?
In the Azara.
In the Azara. Okay. Now, on top of the 12 loaves of bread, they were stacked into two columns of six. On top of the 12 loaves of bread, you had two spoonfuls of Lavona. Lavona translates in English as to frankincense. I have no idea what that is, but it doesn't matter. Those are the two shtei bazichin, two spoonfuls of Lavona. They are a matir. They allow you to eat the bread, meaning to say as follows, that what you need to do is you need to take the spoons, right, which are sitting on top of the loaves of bread, march them out of the heichal, and burn them on the outer mizbeach. And that needs to be done in order to eat the bread. Every karbon, zevach or mincha, every karbon has a matir, so therefore you have to take the spoons out in order to burn the incense, in order so that you can eat the lechem upon him.
How frequent are those spoons taken out?
Weekly.
Every week.
Weekly.
And you eat the lechem every week after a week went by?
Yeah. Yes. In other words, when the last week's was replaced with this week's, so one of the miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash is that they were still fresh, even though they were sitting there for a week on the table, fresh bread, and that was last week's bread eaten by the Kohanim. Machlokas, how you divide it, because remember, every week you have a new shift of Kohanim coming. So six go to this week's Kohanim, six go to last week's Kohanim, or divide it between five and seven. Okay, again, a lot of information. But I just want to remain focused because I do want to finish the parak today, and let's just bear with me. Okay? And what the Gemara is now basically saying like this. So in order to take the spoonfuls of Lavona out of here, that's obviously going to require holacha. There's no way to get the spoons from here to here without transporting them, without carrying them. So that's, again, a required halacha, an unavoidable halacha. So the Gemara says, so the Amar Tocha Zar Mikdash, Ein Machshevas Ma'oz Ba'alacha Silik Bezikhan Elami Pesach Heichal V'lachutz. When does the necessary halacha begin? Only when you walk out the entrance doors of the Heichal, not in here. Interesting. Why not? Why doesn't holacha start from the table? Why does necessary transport only begin over here? Look at Rashi. Amazing Rashi. I mean, you have to say this because it's you have to say Pshat in the Gemara. Rashi ein machshevas malalas. It's like halfway down in the wide lines. L'Rabbi Shimon ba'alacha b'zichei lechem apanim shehim atirim es alechem. Kedama matir sabaser, right? Rashi just tells us what I told you, that it's a matir. Uchechomet a matir tishirayim, it's no different than komets being matir, the leftover of a mincha, v'alechem mispagel memachshavas avodah habazichim. And you could, you could be mefagel, the lechem upon him, if while doing the avodah with the bazichim, you have any one of the machshavas, machshavas shalol l'zmano, machshavas shalol chutz min komo, hold the hein matirin. Rabbi Shimon Iker, Rabbi Yehuda Sevela, ein machshava halacha ma'elas balifsol, ela mi pesach heichal v'lachutz. Mi shihigia la pesach heichal, ad shemagia li yitzias ulam l'ritzpas ha'azara shalafanav. Right? Not until you get to the ulam. De b'chol ha'heichal, lo mahanya machshava sharei kol ha'heichal kasha lahoshiv sham shulchan. Rashi says, and again, you have to say this, because you have to say a pshat in the Gemara. Rashi says that even though it looks pretty, the furniture looks pretty organized, you could rearrange the furniture in the heichal. You could, in theory, says Rashi, take the shulchan and move it right next to the entrance. Okay? That's not what we do. What we do is pretty much how it's laid out over here on the picture, but still, in theory, you could move the heichal over here. So the transport of the bazichin from here to here is unnecessary. It's avoidable. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not holacha. Again, all this is just an understanding, help us reinforce our understanding of Rabbi Shimon, which we don't paskin like, but still, we have now any walking that's avoidable, it's not holacha. Good.
They eat the Lavona?
No, they burn it on the Mizbech. Lavona is burnt on the Mizbech. Lavona, says Rashi, is like dam. In other words, you spray.
I didn't realize.
Yes.
It's like dough?
It's like blood of a carbon. The blood of the carbon is sprinkled on the mizbech, and that's a matir. It allows you to eat the carbon. So the lavona is the matir. It's what allows you to eat the lechem upon it.
What happens if you eat the lavona?
What do you mean? What happens? You don't. In other words, that's not what you're supposed to do with it. Then the lechem upon him is not mutter. Okay. So v'lachutz imtim salomar savra moelus. I'm sorry. Ein elam mipetzach hecha v'lachutz. The imtim salomar savra kedushas hecha v'ulam chadahi. One more point. Okay, and then I can sit down. And that is the following. There is this wide antechamber. It's called the ulam. That's right in front of the hecha. So again, another machlokus, which we'll see again and again, is ulam, which sanctity, which level of sanctity does it have? Your two choices are, either it's a sanctity of the Yazara, or it's a sanctity of the Hecha. Again, subject to a machlokas. So the Gemara says, good, if you're of the opinion that the ulam, the antechamber, has the same status as Hecha, so again, in theory, you could take your table and bring it right into the ulam, because the ulam is part of the Hecha, it's part of the building, with the same status as building. And that would then mean that you could, in theory, move the table right over here, so your necessary, your unavoidable walking is only going to be from here to here, from the outside of the ulam, when you step outside the ulam in the mizbeach. And then the Gemara makes one more jump. The im timtza lomar, tocha pesach kilifnim, ein machshava, right, is that what, yeah. The im timtza lomar, tocha pesach kilifnim, ein machshava malas ela psia achas. Ella bichde hoshata yado. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Just give me one moment. I'm sorry. In terms of the sevela kedusha hechav ulam chadhi emachshem ha'osel mitasach ulam v'chutz v'intim tzolam v'tocha pesach kelefnim.
Ain machshav malas afilu psia achas ela bechtei
hoshatas
yado.
And you don't have to move the outer mizbeach.
Right. So what are we saying? What are we saying over here? I thought I had it. Tocha pesach kilufnim. Ein machshava malas afilu psia achas ela bechtei hoshatos yado.
עכשיו אכל חבר זה בסדר לבין בזה חובר חוץ מי שיגל פסח איך עד שמגיל יציאת סולם מריץ בסדר שלכם איך לא מהניה מעכשיו אכל איך עד שם בזה חובר למקי עזר סביר לנו מנה אולם לחוץ למה לא מהניה מעכשיו שרי אפשר להכיר על ריץ
yeah okay I got it I'm back so the there is an opinion out there again just play around with different opinions there is an opinion out there that you can, in other words, normally after you shech the carbon, what do you burn it? You burn it on the mizbeach. There is an opinion out there, we'll see it later on, that it's possible to burn fats and limbs of the animal next to the mizbeach, notably to the west side of the mizbeach.
Not on the mizbeach.
We'll expose ourselves to this opinion later on in the Gemara. There is an opinion out there that says it. Okay. Right. There was an episode once historically where there was just not enough room on the top of the Mizbeach, right? And they therefore had to burn it. They needed more room, and so therefore they burned it next to the Mizbeach. Again, stay tuned. Okay? So the Gemara now is saying is, look, if that's how you're going to hold as well. So in other words, the Ulam is part of the Hechal. The Mizbeach, you could actually use the area next to the Mizbeach in order to burn. So that would then mean that what holacha is absolutely necessary, only the holacha from outside the ulam to right outside. It's what the Gemara refers to as hoshata. That's what the Gemara says. Ela bechte hoshatos yado. That's it. And then, one more point, which is, v'imtim salam atzav halacha shalab regalosh maholacha, ein machshava malas klal. And what we're about to discuss, right, which is going to be the remainder of today's daf, is that what if halacha requires walking? Meaning halacha, we could translate as being transportation. Just simply getting it from point A to point B. But what if halacha specifically means walking? Well, if that's the case, so then according to Rabbi Shimon, there would not be halacha from taking the bazichon from inside the heichal to outside. Because heichal doesn't end until outside the ulam. Mizbeach begins upon leaving the ulam. All you need to do is extend your arm, and there is an opinion out there that says extension of arm is not halacha. Period. End of that discussion. So again, all the Gemara did in the past 10 lines is just help us understand that for Rabbi Shimon, halacha means something which is unavoidable. But if it's avoidable, it's by definition not halacha. Period. Let's continue in the Gemara. Amalei Abai la'amori de Rav Chista. So Abai says to the Amora of Rav Chista. Here Amora means in the context of a helper, an assistant, an attendant, right? A shamish. So he says to the Amora Rav Chista, by me name Rav Chista, halacha bizar mahu. What if a non-kohen does halacha? So remember now, we have four avodas. We've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta that shechita could be done bizar. But after that point in time, it's pasul, it's disqualified. Right? Zar can't do kabbalah sadam, zar can't do zrika. Ostensibly, zar can't do halacha as well. So, what if a non-kohen did halacha? I'm like shera. So he says, I think it's okay. I think it would be okay if a non-kohen did the avodah of halacha. Umikra misayeni, and I'll quote a pasuk, and the pasuk will support me. Vayishketu es haPesach. The pasuk in Devar Hayamim describing the offering of the Karban Pesach, the way it describes it is they shechted the Karban Pesach. The they here probably means non-kohanim, right? Because non-kohanim can shecht. Doesn't have to mean that, but it probably means that. And then vayizirku es kohanim es adam yadam. And then the pasuk in Devar Hayamim describes, and then the Kohanim were just simply given the blood and sprinkled it on the Mizbeach. So you could make the argument that the Pasuk is talking about where the Halacha was done by a non-Kohen. Okay. Again, it's not compelling. The Pasuk doesn't actually identify who the pronouns are, but it's the Pasuk is Misayeni. It helps. It's an assistance.
Wouldn't you have to assume though there was Kabbalah?
Yeah, the Kabbalah had to have been done by a Kohen. So then, of course, yeah, correct, very good. So then it is a strange conclusion. Kabbalah was done by a Kohen, then handed back to the Tsar. Tsar walked it over. Okay, it's strange. So Mesa Rav Sheshis, Rav Sheshis says, look, I don't know where all this is coming from.
The Miyadam, they sprinkled it
right,
from someone else's hands.
Right,
who
right.
Who gave it to them? Who's the someone else?
Correct, but
it must be.
Right, but not must be. In other words, it could be.
It could have been.
Could be.
So who's number? Why does it say Yisro? It should just say Yisro.
Come on. Yadam. Right. Right. It's certainly tenable. Right. Okay. Fine. Meisav Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis says, I don't know where all this is coming from. We are now entertaining this idea that halacha could be done by a non-kohen. Well, where does all this come from? And in fact, Rav Sheshis says here, let me quote a brisa for you. Zarva Onein, a non-kohen, a kohen who lost a relative on that day, who was the status of Aninus, he's an Onein, Shikur, a drunk, Uvalmom, an Abamish person, Bekabala Ba'alacha Bezrika Pasul, can do Kabbalah Halacha Bezrika. I mean, the brisa couldn't say it any clearer. There's really no way getting around it. V'chein, Yoshe, v'chein, small. And by the way, you also can't sit while doing the avoda, and you can't do your avoda with the left hand. Left hand is out of the question. I apologize to all lefties in the room, but throughout Zvachim, you're going to see the left hand is, forget not being preferred, it's possible, it's disqualified. In fact, Kohen is a lefty. That's a balmum. He's blemished. He can't do the avoda. Okay, again, with all apologies to left-handed people. Drushes. And Bechoros also, we'll talk more about that as well. Okay?
What's the reason?
I don't know. And just from a statistic standpoint, left-handed people have a shorter life expectancy. Okay, now with that, wonderful piece of knowledge. So let's move right along. So the v'chein small. Okay, so Tiyufta, so the Gemara says Tiyufta, that's good. So that's a... what else are you going to say? It's a clear refutation of this position that the Gemara entertained that a czar can do a halacha. at least you know, in other words, before we go on the Gemara, you know where the sentiment is coming from. Meaning it's not crazy. The Braisa said we can't do it. But it's not crazy because what we've been discussing now is that Holacha is like the other Avoda. Meaning it's not absolutely necessary. Rabbi Shimon says that it's not even legally significant. So at least you understand, you hear where it's coming from, that Holacha could be done by non-Kohen, but when the day's over, the Gemara says, Tiyufta, that's a refutation. Zar cannot do the Holacha. V'harav chista krakamar. So the Gemara says, well, what about the Pasuk? David my states to book. So the Gemara says, no. He, the non-Kohen, Avid Maisa Itztabah, he was the pillar. He didn't move. In other words, you're assuming in the Pasuk that he took the blood and he walked over to the No, that's not... No, it just simply means he gave it to the guy to hold, and then he says, okay, good, now give it back to me, and he gave it back to him. But he didn't move with the blood. He didn't do halacha with the blood. Rabbah v'Rav Yosef Dami Tavaya halacha b'zamach lokus Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. Now the Gemara is going to say, look, you know what we could argue? We can make the argument that this question of a non-Kohen doing the Holacha could very well be subject to the Machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Rabbi Shimon. And it makes perfect sense, because look, what did Rabbi Shimon say? Holacha is not legally significant. Rabbi Shimon says that if you have a Machshava of Chutzos Mano, Shinui Kodesh, any bad Machshava that takes place during Holacha is not significant. So now you can make a very plausible argument that according to Rabbi Shimon, Halacha is not necessary, therefore it can be done by anybody. It doesn't have to be done by a Kohen. And the Chachamim...
Avoidable or unavoidable
halacha? No, we're only talking about avoidable. Non-significant halacha.
So Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's unavoidable halacha, nobody else can do it also, right?
I would assume so, absolutely. And then the Gemara says, and then the Tanakhama would of course take the other side, which means that according to the Tanakhama, any machshava that you have during halacha will disqualify the animal, assuming it's a chatos or Pesach. So a non-Kohen can't do it. Okay, so the Gemara makes what seems to be a very reasonable assumption that this really is subject to a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon.
Tanakhama holds that any halacha is halacha. It's
correct.
Unnecessary.
Correct. He makes no distinction between necessary and unnecessary. There is a third opinion in the Mishnah, which we're going to get to at the end of the Perek, which is depends where you are. Meaning, if you okay, fine, but okay, good. So, Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon Damar Avodah Shev Shalavala Lava Avodah Yikshera Bizar LaRabbanan Psula. Okay, so that is the position posited by Rabban Rav Yosef. Amalei Abai V'Hashchita Davodah Shev Shalavato Yikshera Bizar. So he says, look, I'll give you a compelling argument against you. Shchita is unavoidable, right? You can't get to any next step of the Karban process without Shchita. Shchita is absolutely necessary Yikshera Bizar. And a non-Kohen could do it. So Amar Lei Shchita Lav Avodah. Right. So the response is no. Shchita is not an avoda. Now underline this a number of times in the Gemara. This is a critical line in the first parak of Zvachim, where the Gemara here says Shchita is not an avoda. Hard to fully understand what that means, because look, in other words, we know that a non-Kohen can do Shchita. That we know, but we also know that a machshava during Shchita will disqualify the animal. So the...
What was the whole point of discussing that first example in the first mission?
Right. Okay, it's interesting that the Gemara is making this point to say, look, Shechita is bizarre. It's an anomaly. You're right, a non-Kohen can do Shechita, but Shechita is not an avoda, which explains why a non-Kohen can do the Shechita. But you have to explain, I don't have a good one, but then you're going to have to explain, yeah, but then every machshava that you have during Shechita should be regarded as not a machshava, but we know otherwise. What does it mean when the Gemara says a shchita is not an avoda? How does the Gemara, what qualifies the Gemara to make that statement? So Rashi says, shchita lav avodihi. Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara, just a couple lines above, mid ishkashuba kol apsulim avamid dehave avoda v'yev shalavad lapasa bazar. Look, it's like Rashi like produces like a circular argument, like it's. Disqualified people can do the shechita, so therefore you see shechita is not an avoda. That's, you know, Rashi kind of loops the two points over and over again. Tosfos over here says, it brings down an interesting opinion. Rav Yaakov de Orleans, Tosfos, starting with the Hagah shechita lav avodahi. So he quotes Rashi, and then he quotes one of the Balei Tosfos, Rav Yaakov de Orleans. Okay, not the new one, the old one. So mifarish lava vodehi lefisha shave bechulin uvekachem. Shechita is not an avoda because shechita takes place all over the place, meaning there's shechita by a non-carbon, right? We want to eat meat, we do shechita. So you see that shechita is not limited to the world of sanctity and the Beis HaMikdash. It occurs outside. So therefore, since it loses its exclusivity to the Beis HaMikdash, therefore it's not an avoda. That's the svara given by the Balei HaTosfos. Okay, good. So the Gemara says shechita is not an avoda, so don't bring shechita into the discussion. Shechita is just objectively different. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? When it comes to the paraduma, it has to be done by a kohen. And not only that, but you have, by the psukim, you have a lazar, you have chuka. That tells us that it has to be done by a kohen. Chuka tells us that this is the way to do it. There's no deviation. So the paraduma has to be done by a kohen. So the Gemara says, so what? Okay, you're right. Paraduma has to be done by Kohen. That doesn't reflect at all on what takes place in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, Shani Parah, de Kachi Bedek Abayisi. Well, look, Parah is Kachi Bedek Abayisi, meaning it's not a carbon. Paraduma is not a carbon. It's what the Gemara refers to as Kachi Bedek Abayisi. That means that it's done outside of the temple. The blood is not sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Right? It's not a carbon. So it's Kachi Bedek Abayisi. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I've called the Kohen who? Let's just now make an argument, and a simple one. So if Kachi Bedek Abayis is an avoda, which needs to be done by a Kohen, that which is done in the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Kolshke, so Amar Rav Shisha Berei de Rav Idi Midi de Havei Amra As Negaim de Lav Avodi Uvai Kohuna. So the Gemara says, stop it. Meaning, look, the Parah Aduma is done by a Kohen. You know what, says the Gemara? So is Saras. Right, you have tzaras. Who do you go to? Who can look at it? Right, Dan Keskel, the only one in this room that can look at a. He's the only one in this room that can look at tzaras. Right, looking at tzaras, that's an avoda. Of course not. It just happens to be that for whatever reason, the ratzon habore is that tzaras is looked at by a kohen. So just because a kohen is the only eligible person to do it, doesn't mean it's an avoda. And I'll say the same thing by the paraduma. You're right. You're pointing to paraduma, and it has to be done by a kohen. Good. Great. But that doesn't mean it's an avoda. That just simply means that in the world of paraduma, the ratzon habore is it has to be done by a kohen. But that doesn't limit, it doesn't now define, oh, it must be an avoda. No, it's just, it's something which, it's a weird entity, and the Torah says, got to be done by a kohen. That's it. Period. Okay. Vahare. Good. So, right? Let's hopefully we didn't lose each other. Gemara's discussion right now, halacha, done by non-Kohen. What the Gemara's proposing is that it's presumably the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon as to whether or not a machshava during halacha is going to disqualify the animal. So in other words, it's a simple question of, is halacha an avoda or not an avoda? And if it is an avoda, it has to be done by Kohen. And if it's not an avoda, it can be done by anyone. That's where we are in the Gemara right now. The Gemara says, "Vahare olacha sevram lekeves avoda shef shel avat lehi upsula bizar." So the Gemara says, "What about taking the limbs of an animal and bringing it to the ramp of the mizbeach? That is not necessary and cannot be done by non-kohen. You could shecht an animal right next to the ramp and just simply pass the limbs of the animal right onto the ramp." And so therefore it's an unnecessary activity, meanwhile it cannot be done by a zar, by non-kohen. Dechsev, v'hikriv ha-kohenes ha-kol v'hikir mizbecha. V'amra marzu olach ha-sevar m'lekevis. This is referring, the hakrava over here is referring to the taking of the limbs and bringing it to the ramp. So the Gemara says, so what do you see? Even though it's not necessary, even though it's avoidable, has to be done by a kohen. So the Gemara says, same thing by holacha. Even though it's not necessary, has to be when done, has to be done by a kohen. And again, the Gemara is,
and therefore, even the Kohen Rabbi Shimon,
and that's, I think, right? It's a good point. I think that's what the Gemara is trying to argue right now.
The two issues
are right. Hechi de gali lo gali. So the Gemara says, okay, look, I'm not going to argue. You're right. The Avarim have to be offered by the Kohen. Okay, agreed. But you could also make this very simple argument that, look, that's what the Torah is makbid. But could be in other places the Torah is simply not maklid. Maklid v'lav kol dekein hu. And again, the Gemara says, let's construct an argument. Look, taking the limbs to the mizbech, it's a mitzvah. But it's not ma'akev. You've achieved kapara even without taking the limbs to the mizbech. So the Gemara says, halach is dam, de ma'akva kapara lo kol shekein. If taking limbs to the mizbech, which is a mitzvah, but not essential, if that has to be done by a kohen, don't you think that an essential avoda, like transferring the blood from where you shechted the animal to the mizbech, you don't think that it has to be done by a kohen? Good. And that's a very strong argument. The Gemara seems to be compelled by that argument. Itmar nami amar ul amar Rav Elazar halacha bizar psula afilu l'Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara says, and without presenting any argument, but that is the opinion of Ula. Ula quotes in the name of Rav Elazar that even according to Rabbi Shimon, halacha has to be done by a kohen. So according to Rabbi Shimon, let's just now paint the picture. It's a funny picture. According to Rabbi Shimon, halacha, if you do it and have a machshava during halacha, it's not regarded. Any bad intent during halacha is just simply not regarded because Rabbi Shimon says it's avoidable. It's an avoidable avoda. And now we're also saying in the next sentence that according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be done by a kohen. Can't be done by a non-kohen. So it is a funny picture of where halacha stands according to Rabbi Shimon, but that's the picture of halacha according to Rabbi Shimon. Again, all this is Torah Lishma, because we don't fall like Rabbi Shimon, meaning we hold like the Chachamim that halacha, even though it is avoidable, but still is an avoda. Machshava that takes place during halacha is a postal, disqualifies. So we have a more unilateral look at halacha.
Could it be that Rabbi Shimon says that halacha could be either avoidable or inavoidable, right? If it's avoidable, then machshava doesn't matter.
Right.
If it's not avoidable, then machshava does matter, right?
No. Yes. No, wait, Rabbi Shimon. Right, I'm sorry. If it's unavoidable, so then yes. And then Rabbi Shimon will say, okay, ring it up. Like then it counts. Right, like the bringing of the chatas to panimis into the heichal. So then you have no choice. You have to ring it up because there's... right.
So it only has to do with the category of unavoidable halacha.
Correct. But even in avoidable halacha, according to Rabbi Shimon, still has to be done by kohen. In other words, even though...
But the machshava doesn't matter.
Correct. Correct.
I thought that according to Rabbi Shimon, halacha is always avoidable. Since you could move...
That's in that case. But in the case of the chatas and panimis, for example, there's no way. You have to shech the carbon outside the heichal. You got to get the blood to the curtain. There's,
so then he does say that.
There he says halacha. There he says halacha is unavoidable. And okay. More on this issue. No, we're done. We're done with that issue. Ibailahu, new issue. Halacha shelo beregel shma halacha lo shma halacha. Good. From here until the rest of the perek, we will be touching now this another aspect of halacha. It's good. Gemara is very focused today in terms of what areas it wants to explore. Halacha means taking the blood and bringing it to the mizbeach. Okay. Does it need to be transportation walking, or just transportation meaning just getting it from point A to point B? Or reach it. The Mishnah Psachim has a great, great image. It's such a beautiful image. Where what they would do is they would line up Kohanim. In fact, we're about to quote this Mishnah in just a moment. They would line up Kohanim like a fireman ladder. Right? Right, but like a bucket brigade, exactly. And they would line up Kohanim right up to the Mizbeach, and they would pass the blood, Mizrak. Thank you. They would pass the Mizrak, the bowl, from one coin to another. Now there's no halacha baregel, and the Gemara is about to quote that Mishnah in just a moment, and that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Is that considered? Does that qualify as halacha? The Gemara starts off halacha shlo baregel shma halacha lo shma halacha tashma v'chein yoshe v'chein small pasul. So the Gemara says, well, one of the things that we said is that sitting and left-handedness is no good. Now, ha'omei d'miyad yoshev. Now, if we're saying sitting is no good, so that means that in a parallel case of standing, it's good. Right? This is how we make the yukim in the braisa. Right? Sitting is no good, but standing under similar circumstances is good. So it's omei d'miyad yoshev, kasha, dilma. So the Gemara says, and good. And what does that mean? It means standing, so how am I getting it from point A to point B? I just stretch my arm. In other words, so I take it from over here, I pass it, and I bring it over there. Okay, and it's a diuk, it's a possible diuk. The Gemara says it's possible diuk, but you don't have to make it. Dilma Yoshev de Kashayev Meshav. Ome Dumya de Yoshev. Denai Porta. So the Gemara says, well, maybe sitting over here means you're scooting on your posterior, right? You just kind of like, you know, inching your way like an inchworm across the floor. That's what sitting means. And then the complementary case of standing would mean that would be that you're walking. Good. Moving on. Tashma Shacha Yisrael v'kibal haKohen nafsu lechavero v'chavero lechavero. Here we are, right? Mishnah Psachim, and the Mishnah Psachim would describe how they would get the blood from the animal to the mizbech, and they would have the fireman brigade, and they would pass it from one to another. And from that Mishnah, it seems very clear halacha does not require walking; it just means getting it from point A to point B. So the Gemara says, "Hasamnami de 90 porta." Gemara gives an answer. It sounds a little bit like a dochek. Gemara gives an answer. Well, maybe over there was a little shuffling of the feet. By the last Kohen, I'm not sure. But the Gemara says there was a little bit of shuffling of the feet. And over there, why? If that's the case, then why do that? Why have all these Kohanim involved? And the Gemara's answer is Barov HaMajos Melech. Because, especially on Pesach, it's more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have everyone there. And more Kohanim involved. And the involvement of more people is more honor and more splendor. Tashma kibal akasha v'nasan l'apostle yachzir l'kasher. Gemara quotes it. It's a brisa. We'll see this later on in the Masechta. A Kohen does Kabbalah Sadan. And then he hands it to a non-Kohen. So what do? So the Mishnah says very simple. Yachzir l'kasher. Hand it back to the Kohen. Okay? So, and at this point in time, the Gemara is thinking like this. Rashi tells us, what's the thought process of the Gemara? Rashi, third white line down on the page. So number one, just a simple halacha. Even though you handed off the bowl to a non-Kohen, that's not a deal breaker. Right? That doesn't ruin it. That's the first chiddush. Okay, that's number one. We're going to assume that the guy he handed off to was interior to the Mizbeach, meaning that guy was closer to the Mizbeach. Now, if you're of the position that any movement that's closer to the Mizbeach is halacha, so essentially now you've had halacha being done by a non-Kohen. And meanwhile, the Braisa says, let him just hand it back to the Kohen. Okay, and so the argument now is, good, so what do you see? You see that holacha has to be beregel. Okay, that's the way that's what the Gemara is trying to get from that Mishnah. Kibla kasha, v'nasal posa, yachzor kasha. Ema, yachzor hakasha v'kabla. So the Gemara says, no, it could very well be that he has to go back to the point where he gave it, handed it off to him, and start back from there, right? In other words, we're not going to gain by that little by that one little pass towards the Mizbeach, but you actually hand it back to him, and then he walks it from the point of Kabbalah Sadam. Good. Ema yachzor akasha v'kabla. Itmar Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan. So now Amarayim take positions on this matter. Does halacha have to be with your legs? The Gemara says halacha shlo beregel moshmei halacha. Efshar l'tikuna. I'm sorry. Period. So the Gemara says that halacha shlo beregel is not considered halacha. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Okay. We'll see. Others disagree, but fine. Okay. Efshar l'tikuna or lo efshar l'tikuna. Good. Is halacha something that can be rectified? Okay? Top of Tesvav Amin Aleph now, first line of the page. Is it possible to rectify it? Rashi explains, look at the top Rashi on the page. Bein Shasa Zar, Bein Shasa Kohen. Amin Dein Halacha Upsula Dehanasi Shalo Kilchasa. Miyo Yesh La Takana Lachzira Lachora V'lachzor Laholich Beregol Oein La Takana. Good. So let's say it was done by non-Kohen. Halacha was done by non-Kohen. Can you make it up? Can you basically take it back to the point where you were mekabel the blood and say now, okay, I'm with a kohen, I'm going to walk it over myself, even though it was already done by a non-kohen. Tashma, kibla, kashav, nasal, apostle, yachzer, l'kasher. Unihin, amid yachzer, akasher, v'yikablenu. Now it's true what we said just a moment ago, is that the kohen takes it back from the point where he started from. It's true. But Isaac adachalah shalatikuna ifsalalah. So the Gemara says, but look, if you maintain that once you get it closer to the Mizbech by a non-Kohen, and that's it, and it's over, and it's done, so then how are you handing it back to the Kohen? So the Gemara says, look, misvar dekai zugavai, lo dekai zar, I'm sorry, dekai zar gavai, lo dekai zar barai. The Gemara says, look, he made an assumption, which doesn't have to be. You assume that when he handed it off to the non-Kohen, he was close, that guy was closer to the Mizbech. Not necessarily. Could very well be that the guy he handed it off to was further away from the Mizbech. So you've accomplished no halacha, and now you could just simply, the Kohen could just simply take it off his hands and bring it to the Mizbech. So there was no halacha over there, and that's why, and it could very well be that won't speak to our question of whether you can make up your mistake. Amar Ulam Rav Yochanan, Holacha Shelo Beregel Psula. Holacha that's done Shelo Beregel is Pasul. So Ama Lo Efshar Litikuna, Rav Yochanan also subscribes to the idea there's no Takana. Meaning that Holacha, once done by a non-Kohen, that's it. End of discussion. So Rav Yochanan basically has now two halachas regarding the world of halacha. Number one, Rav Yochanan says halacha has to be done by regal, right? So the Gemara, we're going to have to go back to the Gemara's answer. They shuffle their feet. Okay, that's what we're going to have to say. So halacha shelo beregel is not halacha, which means it has to be done by feet, has to be walked over. That's number one. Number two, if done by non-kohen, it is irreversible damage done. Right, you can't just simply walk back and walk it again. So the Gemara says, well, what about the following? We'll learn later on. Blood was poured into a bowl. Someone spilled the bowl. Blood's on the floor. So, asfu kasher, as long as a kohen is there cleaning up the blood from the floor and putting it back into the bowl, so then it's going to be kasher. So, the Gemara is bothered because, look, let's take our Rav Yochanan positions and let's put them together. What just happened over here? We're going to assume some of the blood spilled closer to the Mizbeach. So now, as you're picking up the blood and putting it back in the bowl, you've now just moved closer to the Mizbeach without walking. And Rav Yochanan also says that once you do that, you've disqualified.
So, I didn't even move you close to the Mizbeach.
Okay, good. So the Gemara is going to challenge that assumption. But that's the assumption going into the question.
Part of it is going to go slash forward.
So hacha b'mayiskinan kishiyatza l'chutz. So kishiyatza l'chutz. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'll tell you that case over there is talking about where when it was spilled, none of it went interior. None of it went proximate to the mizbeach. It spilled further away from the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, l'vray nafik l'gavai lo ayo. Really, you can control a spill like that? Spills are spills. They're called spills for a reason. They're pretty uncontrollable. And you're telling me that Mishnah is talking about a scenario where when spilled and only spilled further away, distant from the Mizbeach? So the Gemara gives three suggestions in terms of, that's not so crazy. So the Gemara says, B'makom Majon. So the Gemara says one suggestion is that there was an incline. Right, which is funny. I always assumed the Azara was a flat plane, right? Meaning, of course, it was built on a hilltop, but the Azara itself was a flat plane. The Gemara says not necessarily. Okay, so there was an incline. So that's number one. Meaning away, distant from the Mizbeach. That's number one. Number two, Ibaizema Beguma, or it was in a hole. It spilled in a hole, so, and the hole was obviously distant from the Mizbeach from where you were standing. The Ibaizema Bismicha, or the blood was very thick. It was a viscous blood. And so therefore, when it spilled, it didn't splatter all over the place, but it actually pretty much landed in one concentrated area. And then the Gemara says, okay, enough already. Ich baltana la'ashmi'inan kol hane. That's the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a slanted ground, hole in the ground. Right? That's the Braisa. It's just, the Gemara says that's just too, it's too much. Va'od adetani be'idach pirkan ish ba'chalaritz ba'vas ba'paspol lifloy b'diday. And then the Gemara says, and look, if there really is a difference between whether the blood spills proximate to the Mizbeach or distant from the Mizbeach, if there really is such a distance, a distinction, let the Mishnah make that distinction. We make this point time and again throughout the Gemara. The Gemara always wants to make, the Braises always want to make the sharper, crisper distinctions. So the Gemara says to Yufta, okay, so you know what? Granted. Okay? Really, we're not going to make all these forced explanations of the Braisa. Really, the blood spilled, and you can even say that the blood spilled proximate to the Mizbeach, and we're going to say that you picked it up and you can continue walking. And so we are going to upset and really upend Rav Yochanan's position that if done, it's irreversible. Okay? Not necessarily true. So itmar halacha shlo berego. Now the Gemara continues in this discussion of halacha shlo berego, walking, or I should say transporting without walking. So the Gemara says, machlokes Rav Shimon Rabbanan. So the Gemara here tries to give the following pshat. Okay? That this machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Tanakama, that's only talking about, sorry, let me do that again. When you're walking with your legs, there's no machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, that's holacha. The only area where they argue about is holacha zutrasi, little holacha, meaning without moving your legs, just passing it along, that's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon says that's nothing, it's legally insignificant, and the Tanakama says no, that's significant, and that's holacha. So, machachu ala b'marava. What a pshat. In Eretz Yisrael, when they heard that pshat, they ridiculed it. Right? They thought that's the most insane pshat in the world. That's not the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim argue, even if you're walking towards the Mizbeach, elachat yourself dipsula ba machshava, and in the Gemara trying to make its point that this is not the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, the Gemara goes to a funny place. Chatas ha'of dipsula ba machshava la Rabbi Shimon heichem ishkachala, by the bird, the chatas bird. Where is it ever going to be possible according to Rabbi Shimon? Because before the blood comes out of the neck of the bird, right, with a bird, with a chatzas off, what you do is you press your finger into the neck of the bird and the blood comes out, and then you just simply, you're standing right next to the mizbech and you sprinkle on the mizbech. So if it's before the blood comes out of the neck, lo klumi, that's nothing. Vi basa denafik isav delay mitzvaso. And after the blood comes out, the Gemara now saying that the mitzvah is done. So where in the process of the bird are you going to have your machshava? Before the blood comes out? No, after the blood comes out, the mitzvah is done. The Gemara says, look, leave the chatzas off out of our discussion. My kushya duma mi deparish va'adam atal mizbeach da ba mine Rabbi Yirmiya mi Rabbi Zera hayam mazeh v'nikta yadu shamazeh ashelo higi adam la'avir mizbeach ma'hu v'amalei psula my time avihiza v'nasan be'inan. Because the Gemara says you're working with a false assumption. You thought that by the chatzas off the avoda is done when the blood leaves the neck of the bird. That's not true. The avoda is from the time that the blood is in the leaving the neck till the time that it actually hits the corners of the mizbeach, so you do have a window of opportunity to have a machshava. So leave that out. So the Gemara says, "Kiyaser a papa v'ravuna b'reid rav Yeshua mi bei rav armi haynu chucha." Let me tell you, in Eretz Yisrael, you know why they were laughing when we told them that yo Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim they're not arguing about walking. When you're walking with your legs, they agree. The Gemara says, "Uva holacha rabasi lo pligi, v'hanki pligi, v'holacha rabasi pligi." Meaning, the whole debate between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama is when they're walking. In other words, Rabbi Shimon says, "Look, I know you're walking. I don't regard holacha as an avoda." Period. Okay. So, in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, they just simply said, "I never heard this idea before. It's just not true." Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim are arguing even when walking. So the Gemara says, fine. So now what we're going to say is that if you're walking with your legs, good. Machlok is between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. When you're not walking with your legs, when you're just passing it, then even the Chachamim will say that's not halacha, consistent with what we saw earlier this morning, that Rav Yochanan says, walking by very definition has to be walking with your legs. So bucket brigading is not going to be good. You have to walk. Okay, good.
No,
right. Can it be done by a czar? No, but that's only vis-a-vis machshava. That's vis-a-vis having a machshava during your mini halacha. But still, I would assume.
This was going all the way to the mizbeah.
Yeah.
The handing together. All
yep.
The way to the top.
Yep.
Nobody walked up the ramp.
No, the blood. You didn't go walk up the ramp. The blood. You just stand by the side of the mizbeah. Okay. All right. We'll pause over here. A little bit more to go to finish the parak.
Corners.
I'll explain after. Okay. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we'll finish the parak, and we'll move to the second parak of Zvachim. Why did that go fast?